Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Grandmaster Karen Eden Herdman, and you are listening to Parts Unknown with Professor Gary Lee, now in 6 countries with over 14,000 listeners. And here he is, my friend, Professor Gary Lee.
This program is sponsored by the American Martial Arts Alliance Foundation and Elite Publications. Everyone has a story. You just have to get it out. Visit Elite Publications at www.elitepublications.org.
Well, aloha, everybody, and welcome to Parts Unknown. This is our show that we do every Tuesday, and it's so exciting to know that we're going on 10 years. And you know what's really exciting? You. You allow us to go into your home every Tuesday and get to share with you the history of sport karate in America. Now, I'm just really excited about talking to everybody and all the people that I put together for this show. But you know what? It could be done without this man. He has been our producer from day one, and he's an amazing man. He is the founder of Elite Publications, one of our main sponsors on this show. I want to bring him on right now, Haji Jesse Bowen. Sir, are you there?
Hello. Hey, sir, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing excited. I can't wait. I got some really exciting announcements tonight, so it's going to be pretty cool. And by the way, congratulations on your nomination to the London Black Belt Hall of Fame. That means you're going to be known in Europe. I love it.
Well, I'm excited about it. I'm excited about being a part of that.
Well, you know what? You're a special man. So tell me what's going on with Haji Jesse Bowen. What you got going on, sir, besides working with our friend Alan Goldberg? And tell us a little bit about that, because we're honoring the women this year.
Well, yeah, we're really super excited of having the opportunity again to work with Steven Goldberg. He's an amazing producer. He hosts, you know, such a great event. And so we're, you know, this year bringing together the Women's Hall of Honors as a separate event, which is on Friday night, January 27th. And we have the event, we have the book, we have the Presidential Awards presentation. So we got a lot of things just to earmark, you know, to recognize the ladies. And, you know, we're doing something, you know, we through our nonprofit side, we actually are launching our sponsorship. We don't want the ladies to have to pay to, you know, come to the event. Somebody has to actually pay for it. So what we've done is launch a sponsorship campaign. So when you are now, make a donation to the Ladies Hall of Fame, then that goes into sponsoring them to come in. We have partnered with the American Cancer Society. So we're working with them as providing funding for, you know, cancer research. We're also working, you know, through our foundation to bring together some women, some things for ladies to be involved with, whether it's scholarships, whether, you know, whatever it needs to be. And I've got a great group of ladies I'm working with, and I'm giving them the freedom to make the decision, okay, who do we want to support? You know, what is it you want to do, you know, with, you know, funding? What is it that you want to do, the things you like to see happen? And really, you know, have a, you know, real organization that's doing real things to make some, you know, to make things, you know, better. So I'm really excited about that. So we have that going on. We have the Elite Martial Artists in America compilation books coming out in January. So, you know, we've already pretty much packed 2023 with activities and things that we're actually doing. You know, looking forward to your event, you know, coming up in October. So we're getting, you know, as we're bringing these ladies in, we're also bringing these ladies, sharing them with you so they can be recognized through the Sport Karate Museum.
Well, thank you for all you do, and thank you especially for supporting the Sport Karate Museum through the years. And I can't wait till I mean, really, I can't wait to all the things that are happening for the girls this year, because we'll be honoring Karen Eden Herdman, one of our co-workers who does the radio show for you. And she's a media expert, and she's a really amazing lady, a 7th-degree black belt in Taekwondo. And we're going to honor her with a roast October 6th and 7th. And what's really exciting is Gary Wachowski and Dean Pyles, our Dean Pyles, are going to be actually filming the beginning of the movie October 6th and 7th in Houston, Texas. So, but thank you so much, Jesse Bowen, for what you do and everything that you have a vision for helping. Thank you, sir. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was Hunty Jesse Bowen, the producer of our show. Now, I'd like to introduce two people that kind of keep me in line every week, and they're actually my co-hosts of the show. And the first person I'd like to introduce is my Marine friend, my student, Mr. Dean Pyles. Dean, you there, buddy?
Yes, I'm right here.
Hey, you sound so much better.
Hey, Dean.
I'm so glad you're
here. Yeah, hey, bud.
Covered.
Yeah, I feel a lot better.
Well, you sound
still
like
got a little cough
girl
and stuff, but yeah, a lot better.
Well, you know what? I really missed you last week, and we're so glad you're back. And so stay close, okay? Because I'm going to need your opinion here on this topic we're going to be talking about tonight. Now, the other guy that I really, really enjoy him so much because, you know, guys, I don't throw around that word master or grandmaster very often, but I certainly am proud to say master in front of his name. He is my friend from Cleveland, Ohio, the only sport karate or karate man that's ever been inducted into the Cleveland Association of Sports or the Sports Association. He'll correct me when I get him on the line. But I'm talking about Master A.J. Perry. AJ,
thank you.
There.
That was a nice introduction, Gary. Yeah, that was greatest Cleveland Sports Hall of Fame.
What is that? That's the Cleveland?
Greater
Sports
Cleveland Sports Hall of Fame.
Cool.
Greater
cool,
Cleveland
cool.
Sports Hall of Fame. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, it was a big honor to be, inducted into that. It's
many ugly people that are inducted.
Jesse Owens, Bernie Kosar. Several of the Cleveland Indians. It was a very big honor.
That went over your head, didn't it? You didn't hear what I said, did you?
No, I didn't.
I said there's not many ugly people that's inducted into that Sports Hall of Fame besides you.
I think I'm the only one.
Okay. Well, congratulations.
Hey, Gary.
On that. Yeah.
August 12th, I'm putting a tournament on, and 100% of the profits are going to be donated to the Travis Mills Foundation. And Travis Mills is a warrior. He lost all his limbs in Afghanistan. He has started a foundation that helps out Marines and soldiers. And he brings them up to a camp in Maine. And they have different activities they can participate in. And it's just a great foundation.
What's the date again, buddy?
12th of August.
12th of
August. August 12th.
Well, we'll definitely give it a hoot and run and advertise it as much as we can for you. Now, you know what? Hey, Dave, I was wondering when you were going to finally put on a tournament as much knowledge as you got. Well, it's good. That's good. That's good. That's good. Well,
for a great cause.
Yes, sir. Dr. Lee, are you on the air?
Yes, sir, I am. How are you doing?
Okay, I'm going to introduce you, so hang loose. Here we go.
Okay.
Everybody, you know, what's really cool is technology. And, you know, I got involved with this group a few years ago, and I got involved with what they call virtual reality. I know. You know what that is. But let me share with you. Virtual reality is more than just a computer program. Virtual reality puts you inside the program. It immerses you. And I got involved with three particular people, Marie Shanahan, Rick Shanahan, and Dr. Rizzo Lee. These three people together have invented a hologram that kicks your butt, literally. And it's made to kick your butt. But through the headset and the way we're going to explain tonight how you go about it. But once you beat the hologram, you get to go to the History General portals. Now, this is my dream, my vision, to be able to put the history of all of us on technology, on the future, because the future is these headsets, ladies and gentlemen. They use them in military, sports, hospitals, policemen, gaming, business, ladies and gentlemen. The idea of virtual reality is to be able to immerse yourself into a world that looks real. And now they've invented something called, I forget the actual name of it, Reggio, help me, where you can actually see your surroundings, and the virtual reality can be placed inside that. So you'll be seeing both together. And that's really amazing. And we're going to talk about that tonight. The Oculus Quest Pro allows you to do that. Now, I know it sounds complicated, and that's why I wanted to do this show tonight. I wanted Reggie and I to kind of explain to you a little more in depth of what we've been talking about for a year. And I'm gonna introduce him first, and then I'm going to tell you a part I think is important. And this man is a real doctor, first of all. He doesn't have a DR in front of his name for whatever reason. He's a real doctor. He saves lives, works in a hospital. But because of influence, one of the great blockbusters of our time, Rick Wigginton, rest in peace, he helped create this idea about putting a hologram in a platform of a headset called SetVR. SetVR. Self-defense enhanced training in virtual reality application. And I want to introduce him right now, Dr. Reginald Lee. Reggie there, buddy?
Good evening, sir. How you doing?
Thank you. Good evening. I'm excited about tonight because, you know, I got my Oculus Quest Pro the other day, and I want to thank you guys for thinking about me about that way. But I looked at the price tag. It was $1,500. That's like four times the price of the Oculus Quest, which was introduced last year, which is the platform of what we use. And I wanted to kind of explain that a little bit tonight. The Oculus Quest 2 is a headset that you may purchase. I think it goes for what, Reggie? What, $299 or $399?
$299 and then $399.
Right, two different sizes.
Correct.
Right. And recently, I've been talking about 2 weeks ago, they introduced the Oculus Quest. And now this is it's very, very, very high class. I love it. I love it. They put the battery in back, and they made it very streamlined. And the main thing, the hardware inside, is not only clearer, but you could actually add three different platforms at the same time. And they say that it's used for more business purpose other than gaming. But you know what? I like to talk about a little bit about tonight. So, Reggie, let's get people who've never listened to our show updated what SetVR is. Go ahead, buddy.
Definitely. I would like to start off by saying that our SetVR team had an amazing time at your Texas program event. Most importantly, we met Dr. John Terry, president of the United States Hall of Fame, who had the Oculus set on. In fact, he was amazed when he interacted with the hologram attacker. In fact, he had recently placed our amazing SetVR trailer onto his Facebook platform for the United States Hall of Fame. In about 3 weeks, we've already have received about 150 reviews, which shows our presentation at the Tropicana Casino event with Chief Al Goldberg, and our demonstration in regards to our program there, and also our demonstration at the Texas Conference in 2021. We've also met other celebrities at your event, Colonel Torres, Jenny Pless, and Mona, AJ's better half, had also experienced our amazing self-defense platform. We hit the ground running, returning from the Texas event. We have developed multiplayer. As a backdrop, we will have an Asian arena surrounded by two mountains with cheering crowds in the background. In the center of the arena, we will have multiplayer. Instead of interacting with the set VR hologram with multiplayer, for example, Professor Guy Lee in Texas can interact with A.J. Perry in Cleveland, or with Dean Powell in Florida, with Karen or Karen Schlatcher in Carolina or in New Jersey with our SetVR app. My partners, Marie Shanahan, our marketing director, and Rick Shanahan, a high don martial artist ranked special trained under Professor Ronald Duncan, who has been recognized by Japan as a true ninja instructor in the United States, will be actively involved with our developers and bring this multiplayer into our SetVR program. We are also proud and humbled to have Professor Guy Lee and the History Portal in Virtual Reality to showcase his history generals and their amazing bios. And we will also be introducing Professor Guy Lee as the Wisdom Warrior. And I would like to echo what Professor Guy Lee had also mentioned. We will be super proud to have introductions of all the history generals in our program. We have our core program, the History Generals. Mike Dillard, owner of Century Martial Arts and Black Belt Magazine, George Roy Kerbin, George and Chris Minshew as our core history generals. So go to Google, type in setvr.app. You'll be amazed at what our program can do. Practice to fight and train, and also be introduced in practicing yoga, stretching, and meditation. So Professor Garley, you made some amazing comments about our program, self-defense, cancer training, virtual reality. With the Oculus Quest Rift or Oculus Quest headset, you'll be transported to a virtual reality program whereby a hologram will confront and attack you when you least expect it with random attacks. The goal of SetVR is to have you to be placed in a ability to neutralize an attacker or threat that's sudden, unpredictable, and random. You'll be able to practice to improve your skills in invasion through angular, linear, and circular movements. The void to place you in the opportunity's position of an advantage for neutralization as you practice to improve your skills in timing, speed, and accuracy, as you develop muscle memory. Subsequently, my goal is to develop the reflex response to a threat or stimulus to neutralize without hesitation, as with Professor Guy Lee likes to use metaphors, placing your hand on a hot stove. You remove the hand and the reflex. You'll be able to practice that program in our program, developing a reflex response to practice the program and to practice what you've been taught in your techniques and katas and forms in your programs, in your schools, in an application that is random and sudden to practice anywhere, anytime, where you want. As I mentioned before, we have implemented a program of mindfulness, of stretching, meditation, exercise, and we'll also place you in our personal yoga instructor. We will continue to update our SetVR program in the future to help you to practice and maximize the application of self-defense when you want and where you want. So as I mentioned before, our website is setvr.app. That stands for self-defense of enhanced training and virtual reality. We continue to be proud and so proud to endorse Professor Gary Lee and support and the Sports Karate Museum to be the future platform of his vision of the history portal. So I'm amazed that we have come to this technology, what we've had so far, and Professor Gary has the new Oculus Quest headset, and he's amazed at what he can see and what he can do. Am I correct, Professor Garley?
Hey, Reggie. Let's give a little bit of history, and I'll kind of, if I'm wrong, you tell me, okay? In the beginning, 20 years ago or 25 years ago, it was very expensive. I mean, headsets were like $5,000, and you had to have a high-end PC, a computer, to even do virtual reality. Well, through technology, again, there's that beautiful word, through technology, they got it down to where they created, like the Oculus Rift and the Oculus Quest 2, the original Oscarless, and they made it so it was inexpensive. I mean, $2.99 for the smallest, and then $3.99 for the largest, as far as the more megas it has. And you can go in now and still have a good PC, a good computer. It doesn't have to be a high-end PC anymore. And purchase an Oculus Quest 2, and you can do virtual reality. And everybody thinks that it's all about gaming, but it's not. The neat thing about I love about SetVR, it's not only fun, it's not only a workout, it's not only educational because you're learning about all the history generals. It's very, very productive in the sense of getting your mind and your body in shape by doing something that is technology. And you know what's really cool? Even though the Pro is a hefty price tag, it's worth it because I know what's going to happen is it's just going to get better and better and better, kind of like what Hunchy Bowen says every week. He feels better and better and better every time we talk.
Hey, Gary. Hey, Gary, yeah, you know, it's funny. Mona loves working with that. You see her, and say, see her in my office, and she just kind of float around the room. She absolutely loves working out with that set VR.
Cool.
It's a great training aid.
Well, you know what you have to do? You have to actually go to a Best Buy or you know, Sears or wherever they sell them, and you purchase say a headset and tell them Reggie how they go about putting Set VR on the headset. Do they have to have a special?
Yeah. First of all, you basically mentioned, and I would like to echo and mirror what you have said. And in the beginning, it was very, very expensive. And then they thought about what's called the Oculus Rift. The Oculus Rift had, and I even worked out with the Oculus Rift when we first developed our program. The Oculus Rift had a wire connected to the headset. And that wire went from your headset to the computer. And I presented my first demonstration on that program, and it kind of limited me in a way because I had to worry about, you know, getting tangled with the wire as I moved and interacted with the hologram. Then they came out with Oculus Quest 2, whereby they got rid of the wire, and basically what it does with the Oculus Quest 2, it connects with your phone. Okay, so once you set up the program through your phone, you are able to engage in the program without having a wire connected. What you do is you go to setvr.app, you purchase the headset, and that will give you total instructions on what to do in regards to getting into the program. But you need to, at this point right now, have what's called, used to be a Facebook account. Now I believe it's called a Meta account. Am I correct, Professor Gary?
Yes.
A Meta.
They
changed the name to Meta.
M-E-T-A.
Yeah. To a Meta account.
And But you know what? Again, technology. And, you know, you don't want to let technology go by because it's an opportunity. Even though you don't really want to, it's like some people that didn't want to put the headset on, like in South Carolina or New Jersey or California or Texas where you came to. But once they put it on, they realize that technology is so cool. And martial arts is right in the smack in the middle of it because of you and Marie and Rich. And God bless Ronald Duncan and Rick Wigginton. Because here's the deal. Exciting happens. It takes a group of people, of alumni, to make it happen and work. And that's what I think about when I think about Ronald Duncan, Rick Wigginton, Dr. Reginald Lee, Rick Shanahan, Marie Shanahan, and all the boys that are the guys who put the programming together, Vince and Day and everybody. So thank you, Rick. I mean, thank you, Dr. Lee, for being on this show and explaining and helping people realize that virtual reality is the future. And I really believe that. So stay
one more
close,
thing.
Okay?
Yeah. One more thing I want to mention to that, the program is portable and compact, and it's a simulation program that will immerse you into the program. It's just like being in your own program in your own school, in your own room. You can take it anytime, anywhere, and practice anytime you want.
Cool. Good point. So, Reggie, stay close because we got a really great show tonight. Okay? So thank you. Thank you, Dr. Lee. Okay.
Thank you.
Moving right along, I've got something really, really exciting to say. Tonight on the 4+1, and by the way, let me explain to you what the 4+1 is. What I did was I put together people from all across America, and we talked about topics that maybe people don't want to talk about or they need to talk about or they're controversial. And the first person that I'd like to introduce you to of the 4+1 is one of my favorite ladies in the whole world. She's an A3 black belt, a former PKL champion, studies karate, Shaolin karate, and kung fu from my dear friend from North Carolina, Karen Swacker. Karen, you there?
Yes, I am.
How you doing, honey?
I'm so blessed. I can't stand it.
You came this year, did you put on a... Hello?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you put on the headset this year?
No, I didn't.
You didn't try it?
No, but Lingo did, and Tanya did.
Yeah, well, good. Okay. Well, listen, the question tonight is pretty cool. Okay, I want to get your opinion on what is rank. Well, what does rank mean to you? And I'm going to explain to you a little deeper. Is there going to be a surge for 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th degree black belts for people who have no knowledge or facts what the ranking is and let their egos flow? I mean, come on. Tell me what you think about that.
Okay. Rank is something that it's a goal that is set before you. It doesn't mean a whole lot to me. I don't care what rank you are. Show me. I want to see what you've got. Talk to me. But I understand that rank is what keeps the martial arts, you know, keeps the business going is the ranking system. I totally get it. When I can remember that you had to be 80 to be a ninth dan, and, you know, maybe got your test on when you died, maybe, if you had done the work, maybe. But that's the old judo and the old karate mindset of the 60s. Now there's so many high-ranking young people walking around that it's going to have, they're going to have to add it because there's so much ego, and also because I don't think people realize when they started making these young 7th and 8th degree black belts that they were going to then be your equal very soon. And I can't see that being tolerated. There's just too much ego involved. And I can't see 11 or 12. I don't care. I wouldn't want an 11th degree. I wouldn't want it. Please. You know, I'm happy that I made it this far. I made it this far, and I'm happy. I'm totally happy.
You know what I realized? You know what, Karen? I just realized when I wrote the article today about the show, I went, how do yo, I didn't write you, I went, how do yo feel about rank? So
yeah.
I'm not making fun of it. I just feel that rank has kind of gone crazy throughout America. And
there's
certain people who deserve a high dan rank without a doubt. But I think the 11th or 12th, 13th degree, or some of these people have done outrageous, crazy things to do that. But thank you for your opinion. I'm going to move right along now.
Okay.
Anyway,
Gary.
Yeah, AJ.
Hey, Gary, you know, rank's gone crazy in this country. You know, when you start seeing 35-year-old 10th degree black belts, there's a problem. You know,
amen.
Originally in Asia, okay, you have... 3 is a big number in Asia. and would go into ranks of three. So first, second, and third dan was a beginning level black belt. Fourth, fifth, and sixth was an intermediary black belt. Seventh, eighth, and ninth, and it stopped at ninth dan, was a high rank. Then all of a sudden, you started seeing 10th dan appearing. In Taekwondo, there is no 10th dan. In fact, you know, they would, as they're closing your coffin, they throw it in there like a roofing shingle just before that coffin closed. And there was no 10th dan, but it started in America. And then it caught on with judo. They came up with a 10th dan. But originally, in Okinawan martial arts, you only went up to 5th dan. That was a high rank.
Yeah,
you know, correct me if I'm wrong.
Right,
yeah,
right.
I think you know
right.
that.
And
but originally you only went up to 9th dan.
Yeah, thank you for that information. That's important. Now, my next person of the 4+1, all the way from Oregon, and we jump across from North Carolina with Karen to Oregon now, and this man is he is a 10th degree black belt, and he received it. Well, I'll let him explain to you, but the neat thing about it is he's the web designer of the Sport Karate Museum. He's the one that made the web page of the Sport Karate Museum so cool and so powerful. And if you want to check it out, go to www.sportkaratemuseumarchives.com and see all the magic this man has done. And I'm talking about Professor Tom Spellman, part of the 4+1. Tom, you there?
Yes, thank you very much for that, Gary.
I want to say something
since you brought up the webpage. For the convenience of our listeners, they can go to our webpage and there is a button for Set VR. They can punch it and go right to a button that will bring them directly to the website and be able to interact with the website. So, you know, just we're trying to make ourselves as convenient as possible for access to all of the things we work with. So that's there. All right. Anyway, sorry.
No, it's okay. We need to announce as we progress and let people get excited about going there because there's stories and there's facts and all kinds of advertisement toward the museum. So, yes, remember, people, www.sportkaratemuseumarchives.com, and you see the magic that Tom and I are talking about. Well, Tom, tell me, here's the question, buddy. Okay, how do you feel about rank, Tom? Is there going to be a surge for the 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th degree black belts? People who have no knowledge of the facts of what rank came from and let their kind of egos flow? I mean, how do you feel about it, buddy?
Well, for me, ranks and promotions are an indicator of a student having stepped over a threshold and into another level along their martial arts journey. Additionally, rank has been about courtesy and etiquette. Losing face or being embarrassed in a way amongst one's juniors or getting a breach of proper respect has serious consequences in Japan and the general Asian societies. In many cases, a person guilty of such offense would offer or be forced to take a lot of instances to express his remorse. Therefore, recognition of someone's rank was one way to address this issue and to avoid possible severe repercussions. Today, rank is often a badge of authority or a function of the chain of command, such as military circles. Ranking can be influenced by accumulation of knowledge, time in rank, administration structures within an organization, or even political influence. As I mentioned on a recent show, the term grandmaster in the English language doesn't really exist. It is derived from the word master, and the grand part of the grandmaster reference is a master who, amongst other classes of master, stands out and above the rest. From a numerological perspective, the number 10 to some has represented the completion of a cycle. It can be of the number of creation, the world, and also universal creations. To others, the number 10 is considered to resemble human divinity. This number represents the completion of a cycle which encompasses all potential and all possibilities. Consequently, 10 is an ideal number for the pinnacle of the martial arts traditional ranking system. Presumably, a person who has obtained the Judon or 10th Dan rank is free of rank limitations and expectations. The one-upmanship of the ranks of the 11th Dan and Dan seems born of one's ego and a sense of fragile authority issues, or in my opinion, therefore not worthy of a 10th degree black belt who attained their rank by honorable and legitimate means. Knowledge and truth can be fragile and certainly are precious commodities. Some persons may seek to bend them to their will and thereby wound their integrity. But those of us who have labored long and sacrificed much to obtain them must seek to uphold, defend, and educate those who truly seek them for their value. It is also said that those who argue with fools seldom find peace.
Well, thank you, Tom. That really, really kind of says something, because those words, I know that you research everything you do, everything you say, and I hope our listeners understood as much as I did. I thought that was very, very good. Thank you so much. Now,
you're welcome.
Moving right along, okay, I'm excited about introducing this man every week, because you got to remember, I've been doing karate a long time, and I remember in my dojo, I remember reading stories about him. Now I get to call him every day. I get to talk to him about fighting. I mean, it's like a kid on Christmas morning every time I talk to this man. Now, let me introduce him. He's a Marine, first of all, which is a big deal. Once you're a Marine, you're always a Marine. Hurrah. Secondly, he's a co-founder of the crazy but great BKF, the Black Karate Federation. He is also the president of the Black Karate Federation. A great fighter, one of the best we had in the 60s and 70s. He trained many a champion. In fact, Mr. Al Tracy, as you guys most know, believed him enough to give him his own school over in the East Coast. So he's one of the few fighters that has traveled from east to west, west to east, and fought. He is a product of the great Joe Louis, as our dear friend Dean Powell says. I'm talking about Mr. Jerry Smith. Jerry, are you there, sir?
Yes, sir, I am.
I'm getting better on that introduction, aren't I?
I absolutely loved that one. That was great. Thank you so much.
Well, so well deserved. And congratulations to you, too, because, you know, I've had the pleasure and the platform that Gary Watkins has given me to nominate you to be put into the London Black Belt Hall of Fame in 2023. So congratulations. But tell me, here's the question, still about rank. Is there going to be a third? Yeah, I got
it's a two-part question, Uncle Jerry.
It's a two-part question. The last part is,
yes,
is there going to be a surge for the 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th, and 15th degree black belts for people who really have no knowledge of the history or facts, and then just let their egos flow? I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, having the pleasure of studying on Okinawa, black belt, first degree black belt, is not the end. First degree black belt is the beginning. You train to black belt, and once you get your first degree black belt, that means that you have trained and got your body ready to actually learn martial arts, to learn karate or whatever At least that's the way it was when I was there. Now, up into about fifth or sixth degree, you would work your way up, and around fifth or sixth, everything after that, in some styles, not all styles, is meritorious. Because what you're going to do, because it takes almost a lifetime to actually get to a high rank, like fifth or sixth degree is a very high rank in martial arts, and it takes years to get there. And once you become a senior black belt at those higher ranks, then it becomes meritorious. What you get beyond that is for all the seventh, eighth, and ninth. The rank that you get is meritorious. It's not like you're going to get, because you're going to be an old man by that time if you truly study the right way. And it's not like you're going to get 9 times better or 10 times better. Your understanding of martial arts will continue, but those ranks are given for what you have contributed to martial arts, the people that you've taught, the students that you've created. And to answer the second part of your story, no, I don't think there's going to be any 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th, and 15th degrees, because if you do, they're just going to be laughing stock. It's ridiculous. It's stupid.
Well, Jerry, you realize in India, there are people that claim to be 15th degree black belts. They really are. They've already done it. So it's kind of funny.
I'm sorry that you made me laugh. You see, I just laughed. That's what I would hear. Now, I don't understand what structure. I don't know what style they study.
You're eating too much curry.
Yeah. But to me, anybody who would do that, and I know that there are young people who are doing it now, it's a joke. And hopefully it'll just fade away or go away. I wouldn't spend my time even talking to anyone who would do that.
Well, you know what, Uncle Jerry? I researched it before I put this subject on the air. That Fred Vimari, the guy that created that Kung Fu shoe, before he died, he proclaimed to be a 15th degree black belt. And the guy from Hawaii, the guy that did Kempo, Wim Chow, he proclaimed to be a 50-degree black belt. And also, I found some facts. Karen probably knows this one, too. The first American 10th-degree black belt who proclaimed to be a 10th-degree black belt was Mr. Peter Urban. The story is that he went to Japan, and he faced Goshin Yamaguchi, and then he wanted to create Nishigoju, or American Nishigoju, in America. And Yamaguchi said no. So Urban came back to America and became a 10th-degree black belt in his mind and his system, and he was the first. Now,
well, it seems to me that was a slap in the face to Goshin Yamaguchi for him to do that. So it's really, I have no respect. I just lost a lot of respect for him for doing that.
Well, Urban did create Nishigoju, and it became very powerful across America. But the other thing I wanted to mention to you, do you know the first black American that became a 10th degree black belt? His name was Kareem Allah.
It was Kareem Allah.
Yeah.
Another joke. Thank you.
Well, anyway, he's the guy that fought Jeff Smith in that 9-rounder, I remember. But let me move right along here. Thank you, Uncle Jerry. Thank you very much for your opinion. Okay.
You're welcome.
This next man.
Great words, Jerry.
Thank you, sir.
Exactly. This next man, I've known him since he was an orange belt. And, you know, what's really cool about the 4+1, I've gone from North Carolina to Oregon, to Las Vegas, and now I'm coming back to Texas. And that's where he's from. He's the president of the AOK, the Amateur Organization of Karate in Texas, the largest, oldest, Martial Arts Sport Association in Texas. He's the president. That's really cool. What's really cool, though, and I love this part, he has won the Golden Greeks, the MVP of Texas, over 5 times. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it took me 17 years to win one. This guy's got over 5, and he's an amazing leader in the martial arts. I'm talking about my friend, the president of the AOK, David Chambers. I call him D.E. D.E.?
Yes, sir.
Hey, man, I'm getting better at those intros, aren't I?
You are.
Well, you know, I love it. I love to brag about you. And I know you got some things coming up here pretty soon, the USKA national tournament that the AOK is being involved with. But first of all, what's your opinion? It's a two-part question, okay, buddy? First, how do you feel about rank? And also, how do you feel about this surge, or if there will be a surge for these 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th, 5th degree black belts who have no idea about the knowledge of where a black belt came from, basically, or they wouldn't do it. But how do you feel about rank D?
H-E double hockey stick is how I feel. First of all,
say that again. What?
Heck no. There's no such thing as I'm going past this rank, meaning that in the AOK, Amateur Olympic Karate, we give 9 as the highest score. Now, our rule says there is no nothing above 9-9. Now, if you do that, it disqualifies you if you're something above that. There's some organizations that give a 10, okay? It's great. But if somebody give 11, it just don't exist. Now, it don't exist now. It didn't exist in the past. And if you create it now, it's like I'm just creating another style of martial arts from a style that's already there. It don't exist, and it's foolish to do something to that nature. Now, I might be insulting some people, but when you come to the end, that's the part. Now, most likely, if you're saying that you're going that high up, that's because you didn't come to the end. What did I mean? Mean that if you didn't do the beginning correct, because I've heard several say, can't be that young with that high rank. I don't care how good you are, because there's a bit of knowledge that you can't obtain. But there's a bit of wisdom that you cannot attain until you have had some experiences. And the experience is what actually justify a rank. If I had enough experiences, I did some wise things with the experiences, then yes, I could then progress in rank. But you can't have that experience at that age because you haven't lived long enough to do so. There are certain things we have to adhere to. And when you start talking about going past the part that's finished, that's an insult to the art. I have had 2 students to pass me in rank. They quit They quit my school and went somewhere else, and then shortly later became a higher rank than I am. First of all, I would like to know this. Did they test them in my system, which they didn't know, or was their system so easy that they can get a black belt, and then at that time I was a second dan, and then pass it to a second dan in less than a year? I have one parent today got mad because her child failed his brown belt test. This was like 9-10 years ago. And today she's the same rank as I am. Now, she was a parent when she left my building. And I'm saying, I actually seen this person test. And if you'd been amazed at what they test look like. So my point I'm getting to, it irritates me. It frustrates me because of the insult to what I hold dear. So, again, how I feel about rank, I cherish the effort to gain it. I cherish the the road it takes to get there. That's what I feel about rank. What I feel about something that don't exist is just blatantly insulting.
Yeah. Well, that's where you made a lot of good points, D, and I appreciate your opinion, and every week it means a lot. So, ladies and gentlemen, we went from North Carolina to Oregon to Las Vegas, then to Texas. Well, I'm going to go back to Las Vegas, and this is really a great man. He has stepped up to be a writer for the Fort Carter Museum. He's also the financial advisor for the museum, and he's a really, really neat man. I'm talking about Mr. James. He's the one of the four. So 4+1 welcomes Mr. James Moore. Sir, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you, Gary.
Wow, what a great show so far. A lot of knowledge. But, James, I wanted to ask you, how do you feel about Wright? Because I know that you're actually an eighth Don underneath your master, and you're also an eighth Don underneath the Sport Crowder Museum. But, you know, you've been around a long time. So go ahead and share with me how you feel about Wright.
Well, I think if we're going to go above 10, it's just more part of rank inflation that we've all seen. And I just don't see a need to go higher. To me, it's all relative. My master, Sun Tae-yong, Korean master, doesn't believe ever going past ninth Dan. And he thinks 10th is given posthumously, you know, after you pass away. By your students, and if you're a tenth on, it means there's no more to learn and develop. It's just too finite in his opinion. And similarly, some of his students now are tenth on, even though he's still ninth on. Obviously, a lot of rank involves marketing for students. And I know Master Yang, for instance, the way he attracted students, or they attracted students in Korea many, many years ago, was to fight on the underground no-hold-barred fights in the sand pits in Korea. That's how they attracted students. It wasn't about rank. And as Karen pointed out, it's all about show me. In his mind, it's just show me. Show me, and I'll respect you if I can see how, you know, how good you are and how well you've developed. And to me, martial arts, you know, obviously it's a highly fragmented industry. So to me, ranking is a matter of credibility of the entities that are bestowing rank. And I think those that have serious organizations, have serious systems they've developed, like the five-level method with Grandmaster Jerry Smith, and those who have truly made it to the pinnacle of martial arts, those are what, to me, has credibility, in my opinion. And to accept rank from others without credibility doesn't, to me, have much meaning. So those are my thoughts on it.
Well, thank you so much.
Well said, sir.
Thank you so much. You mean so much that I'm excited. I know that it's hard to feel it on a radio show, but I want people to know I'm excited to be able to put Karen Slasher, Jerry Smith, James Moore, David Chambers together and let you guys express your opinion. And by the way, James, congratulations on you and Jerry Smith we nominated you, the Sport Crowder Museum, to be put into the London Buck Hall of Fame. So congratulations, buddy. Congratulations. And
thank you very much.
Email, you're welcome, sir. You need to check you guys' email. Jerry Smith, James Moore, Jesse Bowen, and you'll see the email I sent you about the nomination. But, you know, I know rank is a touchy subject. I know it is. But you know what? I remember back before you could buy a belt at Century or go to Chinatown and buy belts, you had dye parties. People would dye their white belts to green belt or to brown belt. And the black belt was handed down by the instructor. Now, I know most of you don't remember that, but that's the way it used to be. And even, as I said, there wasn't all these colors. There was white, beginner, green, okay, and then brown, advanced, then black belt. Well, I got to blame the Koreans. When they came to America, they brought the belt colors, white, yellow, yellow, green stripe, yellow, orange stripe, green belt, black stripe, whatever. And they made these upgrades of each belt level. And that's what happened in America. People decided to have different belt colors and work your way up to black belt. Now, after making black belt, which is really, 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 really hard, or it used to be anyway, to work your level to, as AJ said, Nidan or Sandan was very, very hard. And like, for instance, when I got on that plane in Hawaii, I really thought a fifth-degree black belt lived underneath a waterfall in Japan, Okinawa, somewhere. I thought I'd never, never meet a fifth-degree black belt, a sixth-degree black belt or higher. And it's gone crazy, I know. But here's the deal. As we say with anything that the Sport Crime Museum supports, support the men and women who are the instructors who are authentic. And that word is very important because you can research and find out if that person is authentic, what he says he is, and he has the background, and he is the high down rank that he says he is. Now, that is the 4+1, the opinion of an amazing 4+1 opinions on topics. Now, I'd like to bring on someone that says what he means what he says, and he certainly can back it up. And this man is a 9th-degree black belt underneath the Sport Crime Museum, and he trained directly with the great Joe Louis, rest in peace, as Jerry Smith did. But you know what really cool is? That Mr. Louis, before he passed, he gave me permission to adopt him. And so he's been my student for almost 10 years now. And I'm talking about the Wolverine. Wolverine, you there?
Yes, sir, right here.
Wolverine. Okay, yes, Wolverine. Hoorah! Your question, how does the Wolverine feel about rank?
Well, you know, I've said that, you know, a lot, and a lot of people get mad, you know, mad at me. You know, I'd said before a long time ago, I don't care how many rank certificates that you have hanging on your wall. If you can't demonstrate good, solid martial arts technique, then it doesn't matter, you know, what your, you know, rank certificates say, because, you know, certificates are just paper. You know, and that's not really anything. I mean, yeah, depending about the names that's on the paper is what I'm more concerned with, you know, in the fact of who signed that certificate, who was present, and who says you are what you are. You know, but, you know, rank, it's something. I mean, people nowadays go from no rank at all to claiming they're, you know, a 7th, 8th degree black belt or black belt, period. You know, it is what it is. If they are really good, you know, more power to them. But in more cases than not, they're not very good, and that's where martial arts ends up with a bad name. You know, people that claim to be a high rank in something end up not having the skill set to back it up. And that's where, you know, people can get injured via if they train under somebody like that. That claims to be a rank, they're not. They're learning things that they, that, you know, may in most cases may not work because the person's not a legitimate rank of whatever they say. You know, so to me, if you've got the rank, good, and you got the credentials and the people that signed it, then that's great. But, you know, 10th, 11th, and 12th, I know there's such a thing because, you know, like you were saying, the ninjas in Japan, you know, I had a guy out at base that, you know, they flew over, the government military flew him over that was supposed to be a 13th degree black belt in ninjutsu or being a ninja. He was actually supposed to be one of the last actual people that trained under that last ninja guy, you know, whoever that guy was. And,
the ninja guy.
Yeah, I just call him a ninja guy, you know. I mean, you know, because we had a run-in with ninjas one time, me and Professor, so that's a whole nother show.
Yeah, we did.
Anyway, you know, the thing of it is, you know, he claimed to be a 13th degree black belt, but, you know, did I see technique and I was like, whoa, no, I didn't see anything.
Gotta watch those ninja
you know, and then they sent them back, you know. So I don't think there'll be an influx. I mean, they may be with the way things are today, you know, it wouldn't surprise me because everybody wants to go larger, grander. And, you know, stuff. So, you know, they may be, but the real world, and that, but the Sport Karate Museum is going to keep all that in check because you keep up with the history. So people that really want to get into it and really want to look back at how things are, they're going to look at what the standards that's been set down by you and the people that you've put together and realize this is what real martial artists are. And this is how martial arts was meant to be, you know. And I think that's the way it'll go.
Well, thank you so much, Wolverine. I'm so glad that you're feeling better, and I appreciate your opinion so much. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I got a couple announcements to make that's really, really exciting. First of all, as I said, Jesse Bowen, Jerry Smith, and James Moore have been nominated for the London Butler Hall of Fame. That's all of Europe. Now, there's a couple more people you might know. We're also nominated Chuck and Gina Norris, also Mr. Jamie Cashin, and also Mr. Rick Stanford, who basically broke the Guinness Book of World Records this year at the Legends. He did a round kick with the top of his 10 boards, no spacers. It was an amazing thing to watch. So all these people, they're going to be representing America and being put into the European Hall of Fame, better known as the London, England, Butler Hall of Fame. So congratulations to Chuck and Gina, Jamie Cashin, Eric Stanford, Jesse Bowen, Jerry Smith, and James Moore. Congratulations, guys. Now, another announcement that's really exciting. This is really exciting. It's going to happen. We're going to have a series, and it's going to be on, like, Hulu or Netflix. We haven't decided yet. Or, you know, Pluto. I don't know what they're going to do, but the series is going to be on different parts of the martial arts frame inside the museum. Like the women, the masters, the pioneers, the superstars, the organizations. This is exciting. And they're going to also start the filming of the museum movie October 6th and 7th when we do the ladies' event at the Legends. So stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. This will be up and coming announcements about that, and we're just really excited that we're right in the middle of virtual reality, right in the middle of honoring the real people that deserve it. We're just excited about being here. And remember, for more information, you can always go to www.sportkaratemuseumarchives.org. Information will be there on our webpage. And I don't know. I get excited about knowing that we've been on the air for 10 years. I get excited about the fact that I get to share knowledge and history with my friends and the people I haven't met yet, which I hope to meet every one of you eventually, every chance we can have it. I don't know. I just get excited. So please excuse my excitement. But you know what? This has been a great show because I feel it's been a show of knowledge. And I love that. So as we say every week, and we mean it from the heart, mahalo and aloha. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night. Good night, hey.